Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Last Tuesday, we just touched very, very slightly, but we just began to touch something in the Holy of Holies. This is the beginning of the second half of our 40 days. We spent the first half in the holy place. We're going to spend the second part in the Holy of Holies. And I'm going to be leading us through every morning this week. Not that I will need to do much, because the Holy of Holies is totally different from the holy place. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes explaining to you about the holy place and the different Holy of Holies and the difference between the Holy of Holies and the holy place, so you know really where we're going, what we're aiming at. Now, we've had a wonderful time in the holy place, and it's not just those of us who are here at Rofi, but the whole church has been keeping pace with that through what's been happening in the early morning prayer meetings and on Tuesdays. And yesterday morning we had a great time of worship in the holy place. That was the holy place. But it's time to go into the Holy of Holies. And I've been sort of praying for couple of weeks, really, about, Lord, how can I explain the difference? Because when you've experienced it, you know it, but when you haven't, it's very difficult to put into words. And the Lord summed the thing up for me like this. When you're in the holy place, you know you're in the presence of the Lord. And that's what we've been experiencing. That's what we experienced yesterday morning. It was a great time in the presence of the Lord, in the holy place, with Him. But in the Holy of Holies, it's not the revelation of His presence. Because we know the Lord is with us always, but He reveals His presence, like He has done many times here, including yesterday morning. But in the Holy of Holies, He reveals His presence within you. It's not that you're in His presence, but His presence is in you. Now that is the big difference. And that is what changes and transforms you. In the holy place, we can repent, we can let God do much refining in our lives, and He's been doing that. But that basically deals with the negative things that have been in the way of God's best purposes. But in the Holy of Holies, He releases His presence within you. Now, just like you know that you're with the Lord always, but He reveals His presence, as He has done the last two or three weeks, so you know He is within you. The secret is this: Christ in you. But what we need is for Him to reveal His presence within us, to release His presence, to release who He is within us. And that's what takes place in the Holy of Holies. And it's that which transforms your life. It's that which actually produces revival in a person's life. Now, what the Lord has been doing these last 3 weeks or so has been very important. Because you have to go through the holy place to get to the Holy of Holies. So, we will have to do that every day. But the Holy of Holies is God's best. And you only get God's best if you give God's best. So things are going to be different this week. Not just because we've cleared the chairs, but because you're going to come with a different frame of mind. You see, you can't come in here, sit and have idle conversation about this and that, and then just switch off and say, "All right, let's go into the Holy of Holies." Doesn't work like that. What I want you to do is to spend time in the holy place before you come to the 8 o'clock. And when you come into the 8 o'clock, no talking, you keep your focus on the Lord. So we already have this revelation of His presence before we even start. So we can then advance from that place into the Holy of Holies. There'll be no musicians all week. Because actually, in the Holy of Holies, nobody can lead you. That's why I say I shan't be doing very much, just controlling the traffic a little bit, perhaps in the early part of the week, so we all know what we're doing. But in the Holy of Holies, there's no leadership, there's no prophetic songs, there's no band, there's nothing to get you motivated or moving. There's just you and the Lord. But there's the corporate dynamic of being together, which enables us all to go up, or to go in and enter in together. It's very much easier to do that than just on your own. Now, what is likely to happen? We've got, not just this week, we've got another 20 days, haven't we? I believe God is going to encourage us this morning by what He does, but I mean, this is only going to be a start. We've just got to get our focus changed a little bit. Just a slight shift as to what we're really aiming at. Last week over this weekend really, I came across a book of mine by Wesley, John Wesley, the great revivalist. And in that he describes what is really the effect of somebody who has been revived by going into that Holy of Holies. I just went through what he said, and there's really 30 different marks of what happens to a person who has been in that place and is living in that place. Because God doesn't want us just to visit the Holy of Holies. He wants us to be living in a much closer relationship. And I'm just going to read what these 30 things are. Not to put you off, but to excite you in the right way. Because as you listen to these, you realize it doesn't matter how much time we spend on the carpet in the holy place, repenting and asking the Lord to do this, that, and the other in us, that could never produce what Wesley talks about here. And I mean, I've read this, I suppose, several times over the years, but to me, it really just encapsulated, it explained what it really is like when you're in that place of revival with the Lord. But you will see that the only way that this kind of life can be reproduced in you is if God imparts it And that's what happens in the holy place. There's an impartation of the presence of God. It's not that we're just in the presence and you know, the Lord is blessing us in the presence. And I'm not belittling that. It's been absolutely essential. You can't move on to the next stage unless you go through that stage. But we don't want to get stuck at that stage. Otherwise, in 3 weeks' time, we won't be that far much further on than we are now, because whatever issues we can be aware of that God needs to address in our lives, he would have addressed already in 3 weeks. So we've got to go beyond that to places where we've never been before. Are you with me? So I'll just read this and then we're going to pray, because I shan't be talking much at all during the course of the week. This really is the keynote this morning, I think. But this is what God wants you to be like in 3 weeks' time. So that this lifestyle becomes your lifestyle. Is that all right? Yeah. That those who are in this place with the Lord love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, we know that's what the word says. We know that's what we want. But you see, what he's saying is, that is what you do. You really do love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is the joy of your heart, the desire of your soul. For you have no desire greater than your desire for the Lord. Everything else is subject to that. He is your God and your all. He is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. These are all scriptures, of course. But he is that in reality, in your experience, not just in the book. You rejoice always. Instead of just knowing that's what you should do, it's what you do do. You rejoice always because you have within you a well of water springing up for eternal life, causing your soul to overflow with peace and joy. His perfect love has cast out all fear, enabling you to rejoice always. That can only happen by impartation. In joy, you praise him as your Father and Lord because of the great mercy he has shown you. You will get a much greater revelation of his mercy in the next few days. So you will praise him for the mercy he has shown you, and you will have a much stronger, sure, certain hope into what he will give you. It's like knowing that you cannot lack anything, that you only have to ask and it's yours. So you give thanks in everything, because you know this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Can you notice the difference? There's a difference between you should rejoice always and you should give thanks in all circumstances and actually doing it. When you've been in that place with the Lord and received what only he can impart, then you do it. So you pray without ceasing. Because your heart is set on the Lord at all times. When do you pray? When your heart is set on the Lord. How can you pray without ceasing? When your heart is set on the Lord at all times. You walk with the Lord continually. You love everyone as you love yourself. It's the love that you'll find he keeps referring to. You even love your enemies and pray for them, doing them good whenever you are able to do so, even if they reject your love and continue to abuse and oppose you. Why? Because your focus is on the Lord, not on what they do. You have purity of heart, because his love in you has purified out of your heart all envy, malice, anger, and every negative attitude. You will have been battling with some of those things in prayer over these last 3 weeks. It's a transformation when they've all disappeared, because of the impartation of his holiness. Are you with me? You have been broken of pride, and so walk humbly with the Lord, full of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and long-suffering. You can't make yourself like that. It only happens by impartation. You do not love any form of worldliness. Your desire is not to do your own will, but his will, and you want to please him rather than yourself. Not just sometimes, but all the time. You maintain your focus on the Lord, so your body is full of light. Remember what Jesus says, that where your eye is will either fill you with light or darkness. Well, if your focus is constantly on the Lord, you are constantly filled with light. He reigns in you, and everything in your life reflects his holiness. You can't make yourself like that in the holy place, no matter how much you repent, how much time you spend on your face on the carpet. It has to come from the impartation that he gives in the Holy of Holies. Your thought life reflects your obedience to the Lord and his word. Transforms your thought life. Only God can do that. You keep his commands out of love for him, even the least of his commands. Remember, I told you sometimes how when you're in revival, you won't even break the speed limit. That's the least, if you like, of commands, but everything from the Lord becomes so important to you, because you're so submitted to his authority. Whatever he has forbidden, you avoid. Whatever he commands, you do. This is your glory and your joy. You see, what happens in the Holy of Holies is the glory of God comes upon you, in you, within you. So you only want to do what will glorify the Lord. It's something so precious has happened to you, you don't want to lose it. You might have heard some people when they talk about being born again, how it's so wonderful, they don't want to go to sleep in case it's not the same when they wake up the following morning. Well, it's a bit like that, but at a totally different level. You get to this place with the Lord, and you do not want to let go of that place. It's His gift to you, and it's so precious. So your daily course is to do His heavenly will on earth with joy in your heart. You know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth. It becomes a reality in your life, not just an objective for which you're aiming. You obey me with, you obey the Lord with all your might. This obedience is in proportion to your love for Him, the source from which it flows. So you love the Lord with all your heart and serve Him with all your strength. Very practical. You continually present your soul and body to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him every day. You devote all you are and all you have to His glory, using everything according to His will, and so for His glory. His grace enables you to do this, not just aim to do it. This is the big difference. In the holy place, you can have all sorts of good aims. In the Holy of Holies, those aims become a reality. They get fulfilled. You do them. Nothing can hinder you from running the race that is set before you. There's that determination, that perseverance to stay in that place with the Lord. You do not lay up treasure on earth, or speak evil of your neighbor, nor speak falsely, for love keeps the door of your lips. Because your mind and your heart have been cleansed of everything that is negative, so your speech reflects that. And the last thing, you do not become involved in idle conversation or gossip of any kind, but speak only that which is edifying. So there is uniformity in what you think, say, and do. Now, if we take the word of God seriously, all this would be our aspiration, that for which we really want. What I'm saying to you, making very clear, is that no amount of repentance produces that. No amount of just time seeking God enables that. It's the impartation from Him. Now, I believe that what He is saying is that He has been dealing with us in the holy place for these 3 weeks. And of course, that won't stop. He will continue to deal with us. But He will take us beyond that to this impartation of Himself. So what we have is a release of His presence within us, not just being in His presence. You see, in His presence is abide in me. But that's not the end of the sentence. And I in you. You abide in Him in the holy place, and then the abiding in you takes place in the Holy of Holies. Have I made it clear? So, there's a sense in which you're on your own from this point on. There's a sense in which we're all together. We're all together because we're doing something communally, and that helps each one of us. But nobody can move into that place in the Holy of Holies for you. Nobody else can produce that sense of His holy presence that you can just bask in, even if you, you know, have been pretty casual yourself about what's going on. You still get blessed because of what's happening around you. But the Holy of Holies is not like that. Now, just one more thing. What does the scripture say to us about this? We go up into that place with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith. As I was reading what Wesley was writing, I was impressed by the fact that he didn't mention faith as such, and yet everything he was saying was soaked in faith. And I can understand that exactly, because that's what revival is like. There's so much happens because of the faith of the people, but it's not faith they talk about. It's faith in action. It's faith that is seen in the way people live according to the word. Now, what is a sincere heart? A sincere heart is one that wants to be like what I've just read. A sincere heart is someone that says, Lord, that is your will for me as a believer. That is your will for me as a disciple. That is what you want. I can't make myself like that, but I have this earnest desire that you impart to me yourself in whatever way needs to happen, that there's that release of your presence within me so I become like that in practice, not just in theory. So we come with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith that that's what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know whether, you know, there will be points in which God just sort of moves and everybody gets zapped, or whether God zaps one person after another. It may be different things, different days. But what I do know from experience, because of course I've been through this a number of times, you must understand. But what I do know from experience is if it is not your objective, if it is not the aim of your heart, forget about it. Go and find something else to do with your life. Because God is going to grant the desire of your heart. That's why this has to be the longing. The longing of our hearts. This morning God was speaking to me about the word from in Psalm 3 that I cried unto the Lord and he heard me from his holy hill. There's been quite a lot of silence. I mean, we lapsed into silence yesterday morning when we were in the holy place. That often happens. But in the Holy of Holies, it's different. As we just began to experience on Tuesday, there's great praise. There's intensive, fervent prayer. Everything is like, you know, turning up the volume on the hi-fi so that it begins to blast you out. It doesn't mean that there aren't times of silence when God moves and God is dealing with you, but there's an urgency, there's an expectation, there's a wholeheartedness about what you're doing, a determination. You know, you become like Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. It really is like that. It's not just sort of turning up and hoping it's a good meeting and hoping that the presence of the Lord is there and God does something in my heart. There's a determination. I want to get through to this place in God where He imparts His life to me and releases His presence in my life in such a way that what I've just heard is not an ideal for which I'd like to aim, but something that has become a reality in my life. So, the reason why this is here, one person understands, is for you to fill it, because things are different. We don't come in here and sit down and just have a nice time from now on. We are all out, pulling all the stops out. We are going full throttle for the Lord. But we go through the gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise right before the throne. And, you know, I've been sort of gearing up to this for the last few days, and I mean, I just say, well, Lord, I can't do anything. And that's it, I can't do anything. I can't lead you there. I can tell you about it. I can tell you how to get there. But this is now up to the Holy Spirit to lead you there. And therefore for you to depend upon Him. Amen? So let's all stand and you can come out of your comfort zones. Now we haven't got musicians, because in the Holy of Holies there aren't any. In the Holy of Holies there's no worship leader, there's no pastor, there's no preacher, there's just you and Jesus. You and the Father. But we pass through the holy place, so we begin by worship. But it's got to come from us, hasn't it? Not from the platform. And we want all the musicians to be able to focus on meeting with God, not on leading songs. So let's just get our focus on Him now. So let's just lift our hands, our hearts, and begin to worship Him for who He is. It's being impacted with who He is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.